We're beginning with the second parak of Maseches Megillah. So we left off last June already with Daf Yud in Maseches Megillah. So Daf Yud through Yud Zayin, those seven blot, darshan out the entire Megillah. All the famous Gemaras and Agadata and stories in Midrashim you know about the Megillah, I would say 80% of them come from those seven blot. The goal is to learn this parak up until about, let's say, January, February, and then switch gears. Then go back and learn those in preparation for the Yontif, the Yontif Apur. Okay? So that's the way we'll, that's the Seder, that's what we'll do, Bezrat Hashem. And again, we are learning together. So if there are any questions, issues, problems, we are learning together. There should be, I made about 15 copies. Where do the copies go? Here they are. There we go. Okay, so the second parak begins with Hilchas Megillah, but it starts there, but it ends in a very, very far away place from Hilchas Megillah, but with all one major issue discussing. Okay, Hakoris Megillah l'mafreya, we're daf yud zayin with aleph at the bottom. Hakoris Megillah l'mafreya lo yatsa. If you read the Megillah l'mafreya, if the Megillah is read out of order, lo yatsa, you are not yotzei the Megillah. Now, what does that mean? Out of order. Instinctively, what do you mean? What does it mean? Out of order. Out of order what? Which way?
It's funny because it means retroactively.
You're right. In Hebrew, thank you.
Contemporary Hebrew.
I grew up in Tel Aviv. So, suburb of Tel Aviv, right? So Lamafer means retroactive in right. But in Mishnaic Hebrew, it means like out of order.
Out of order.
Out of order. Or retroactively. It means one of those two. Just, it's not sequentially. So now what, that could mean one of two things. And we have to keep this in mind. For the other halachas, does out of order mean I read the psukim out of order?
Randomly, entire psukim, but just picking and choosing.
Exactly. I read the psukim out of order, but I read every pasuk, but out of order. Or I read the prakim out of order. Okay. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe both are puzzle.
It definitely, it doesn't mean just back to front.
It doesn't mean only backwards. It just means out of order. Why is that important? Because we're going to see the Gemara is going to apply this halacha to other halachos. Shema, Hallel, Shmon Esrei. So, based on the way that we understand it here, is that going to be the same rule elsewhere? If I read Hallel out of order, what does that out of order mean? Does that mean I read Mashiv before, you know, Haluka, or just I read the psukim out of order? Maybe there's a difference there versus Shema, etc. We're going to see that as a difference. Why is it that if I read the Megillah out of order, I'm not Yotze? Why would you say that? Instinctively, what's the reason? What would you think?
You don't appreciate the custom or the...
In which way? I think you're right. What do you mean you're not appreciating the Persumenisa?
You get to the end, everybody's saved, and then, well, now I know everybody's saved, and you're not getting the whole, you're not getting the story.
It's not dependent upon the
right.
Order of events.
Narrative. Narrative.
Amazing, right. Amazing. Alan, you can move up over here if you want. It's all good. So the Ritva says this point. He says that, Kol hayin dekula kechada parshahi. And he says that if you'd read the Megillah out of order, you would mess up the story, right? The most important part of reading the Megillah is reading it, and the challenge for us is we've done this for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, where it's like, it's not new anymore. But the greatness of the Megillah is reading it in that order, because that's how you see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Like events unfold.
Exactly.
One thing after the other, just as it's unraveled.
And Dafka, when you see them in that order, with the Yad Hashem behind the curtain, do you appreciate the greatness of what's going on in the Megillah? So he says that's the reason why by Megillah, even though you checked all the boxes, you hit up all the psukim, you are not Yotze. You're not Yotze. The Bnei Yisrael, yes.
Shema and Hallel and Shmon Esrei, I think that would imply first. That would be the narrative.
Great. So we'll talk about it over there also. Why or what the out of order there is doing or not doing. We'll talk about that. The Bnei Yisrael, who's the Bnei Yisrael? Rav Tzvi Elimelech mi Dinov, the Dinov Rebbe. The Bnei Yisrael wrote two major svarim. One is called the Bnei Saskar, in which he writes about the Hasidish Rebbe. He wrote about the months of the year. It's 12 big chapters, very large. It's two volumes mainly. And he wrote the months of the year. And in there, he has all of these amazing, amazing pieces about the Moedim, a lot of Kabbalah in there, a lot of things hard to understand. But it's a beautiful, one of the most important Hasidish works that's out there. And he also wrote a Sefer on Chumash called Derech Pikudecha as well, which is great and also very, very clear. Very clear and easy to understand. So he writes Derech Drush on this. What's Koresa Megillah Lamafreya? He says, if we feel that the Megillah is something that is in the past, that it's like irrelevant, I'm afraid it happened then, but it's not relevant to our lives right now. Lo yatsa. Then you missed the point. If you don't think the message of the Megillah, the message of living a life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there pulling the strings, you missed the point of the Megillah. You missed the point. Arya says it's not pshat. You're right.
It's not pshat. It's such a
great
way of reading it.
Okay. Yeah. It's awesome. Okay. Kara al peh. Kara targum b'cholosh and lo yatsa. If you read the Megillah by heart, or you read the Megillah through the targum, meaning through the Aramaic translation of it, b'chol lashon, or you read it in any other language, you're not yotze. Okay, you're not yotze. Aval korin osa lelauzos bilaz. Aval korin osa lelauzos bilaz. Okay. You can't read in any language. If you read it in a different language, you're not Yotze. But if you read it for somebody who speaks Laz in Laz, you are Yotze. What's Laz? What language is that?
Different language.
That's the language of the land. Laz refers, it's a catch-all phrase for all the shahako of languages. Right? It's like any language. It's English here. It's Finnish, it's French, it's whatever the language is of that. Like Rashi always writes in his Parish Nechumish, Bilaz Omrim blank. Like when he defines, like if you look at 2 weeks ago in Parshas Re'e, with all of like the animals, he's like, in Laz, they call it this. Laz for Rashi was
French.
Right? What? No, just that's like, that's the Mishnaic word for like
different language.
Like the language of the land. So he says that now the Mishnah has a little bit of a problem. If you read any language, you're not Yotze. But if you read it to somebody that speaks a language, you are Yotze. What's the problem with that? It's probably the two lines I just read. You read it, b'chol lashon, you're not Yotze. But if you read it to Aloes, you are Yotze. What?
Contradicting all of
this. Contradicting. Completely contradiction. Mm-hmm.
Saying that you have to, that Lashon Kodesh, you're automatically Yotze. The laws is only if you actually understand it. You can't read it in French to a Spaniard, Spanish speaking.
Right.
Then he's not Yotze. But if you read in Spanish, then he's Yotze because he understands it.
So Aryeh is on Team Ramban. That's the way the Ramban understands this line. It's that if somebody does not understand a word of Hebrew, they are clueless. They do not understand the word of Hebrew. They are not Yotze. They are Yotze if they read in Hebrew, but they also could be Yotze in a different language. Okay? And that is a prevalent opinion out there of many of the Rishonim. The Ramban quotes an opinion of Rashi, which does not appear in our Rashi. The Ramban quotes a Rashi that says that even if you understand, Hebrew, you can also be Yotze in Laz. What does he do with the language of B'chol Lashon? That's hard to understand. B'chol Lashon Ya Yotze. So it only means, right, and this is going to be in the Be'er Halacha in a minute, we're going to see this inside, it's the language of the land. Okay? You're Yotze. If only it's that language. What does he mean? So just, we have a few different Shulchan Aruchs we're going to look at here today. Some fun going, skipping around. About four chalakim of Mishnah Berurah. Here you have over here. Here, the Be'er Halacha right here on the first page says the following point about this line, and in general, we're going to see you can read Kriyat Shema in a different language, right? You can read say the Shemoneh Esrei in a different language, and we'll see how strict halacha lemaisa do we take this. Should we be doing this every day, once in a while? You know, Yamin Narayim Slichos is coming up. Like, it's hard to understand what's going on. To what extent, right, do we take this? So, says the Be'er Lach over here. V'da'od, nearly the Pipshitas. The Osan Dvarim Hanemarim B'chol Lashon. When we say, you could say B'chol Lashon, U'davcha im anshe Osa Medina Midabrim Kach. You're only Yotze saying the whole tefillah in that language, if that's the language of the country that you are residing in. That's what people speak in this country. But if the people of this country cannot speak this language, Raku, and only him, only a few people understand this language, Zelo Nechshav Lashon Klal LeMedina Zu She'enam Akeres Bezua Lashon. Okay? Only the language of the land. You can ask, what about America? We speak like, right? Go on the train. I don't go on the train every day. Some of you go on the train or the bus. What's the language you're hearing? Probably there's a few different languages you're hearing. So I am not sure what the Be'er Halacha is going to do with that. Right? We do have an official language.
No, we don't.
What? Oh, we don't? Okay. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Not even that.
Great. So now, what would that mean? I'm not sure what the Be'er Halacha would do with that. But he says something really beautiful here. One second, Alan. The Bishlama Lachshana Kodesh Hu Lashon Mitzan Etzem. You come in, you've never learned Hebrew. You don't understand the word of Hebrew. Hebrew is so powerful. It's so kadosh. The whole world was created with the osios of the Aleph base, right? That it's kadosh mitzad etzem, the way it is. It's essence. You don't understand the word you're hearing? You're otzi with the Megillah. Not a question. Masha'en came. Shar lashon. Einenu ki mitzad heske medina. It's only dependent upon the Medina. And he brings a proof from Maseches Kiddushin. Maseches Kiddushin says the following. If a person says, Ha'omer Charufasi. If a man says to a woman, right? I always feel, when you're getting engaged, that's your one chance at your own personal color war breakout. Right? So a person tries to get engaged to a woman, and he says, could you be my Charufa? We know from the halacha of Shivcha Charufa, I don't have time right now to go through what a Shivcha Charufa is, but Charufa means designated. Designated. So in Yehuda, which is one of the parts of Eretz Yisrael, it's called the region of Yehuda, Judah, right, Judah and Samaria. So that region, they call the Charufa Narusa. Those are synonymous. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says there in Kiddushin, if you said, you got down on one knee and you said, could you be my Charufa in Yehuda? And she says yes, then you have halachic erison. But if you did that in Johannesburg, South Africa, we don't talk that way here. So that would not work. So that's the Be'er Halacha's proof that it goes based on the language of the country that you're in. Right? So that's important to know from both sides, what lo'azis means, right? And this chumrah of the Be'er Halacha over here and the power and Kedusha of the Aleph base of Hebrew. And what that has, right? The Ramban says it's Kadosh because there's no bad words. There's no bathroom words. The Ramban writes in, I think Parshas Tezriah, he writes, the Ramban writes, the reason why Hebrew is so Kadosh is there's no bad words. It's all Tanua. It's also Lashonaki. Right? We have those words, but it's also done in a different type of way. So that's why he says it's Kadosh. Yes? Right, so the Jews of Aleppo.
What?
The Jews of Aleppo, pre-1948, where they started leaving. So, got to read a great book about Aleppo. It's an amazing book. You read it?
It's finished.
Oh.
Amazing.
So, really, really good. I read it a few months ago. Yeah, so that's a good question. Does it go based on, for example, like what's the layer? Does it go based on the city? Does it go based on the state? Or based on the country? It's a very reasonable question. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we have questions like that also. Like, what's considered, the Gemara talks about Shechita, right? The Gemara talks about, so you have things that are, that you can't squeeze those fruits because everybody makes them into juices, right? And then that's like Daraisa. Then things that some people do, but they're edible, they might taste good, but not everybody does it. They're not meant only for juicing. Those are rabbinic. And then you have like others, there may be, the juices are like objectively, you know, not tasteful. Maybe that's on a, maybe if you have that juice, it might be mutter. So you have three levels. So the Gemara talks about that some of them might be based on the city that you live in. The Gemara's example is Rimone Badan. Badan was a city. And the pomegranates in Rimone Badan, right? Before pomegranate juice was good, antioxidants and all those things. Palm, amazing. But before that, the people in Badan know about Rimone Badan. They were known to produce pomegranates. And they were known to have pomegranate juice. So there, squeezing the pomegranates was an Isser Daraisa. Whereas in other places, when it's a Durabanan. There are a lot of different nafkaminas. Don't try this at home, please, on Shabbos, on any level. It's more complicated than what I'm saying, because even if the juices come out on their own, it might be Usser because of Muxor, Usser Durabanan, because of Xera Durabanan, Mashim Shazavu. But you see, in other areas of Halacha, we do it based on maybe the city, the region. It depends on what it is. Okay, let's continue. Potentially, yeah. 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 Yes.
But how far down do you go? You go to South Bronx, there are places where they only speak Spanish, they don't speak any English, but
right.
You walk a mile
or
over.
Or you go to Chinatown. So, right. Yeah, so it's not so clear. It's hard to say. Yeah. Avokornis, okay. Avaloe Shishama Ashuris. Yatsa. That's what the Be'er Lacha is pointing out. That if the person that only speaks French, right, never heard a word of Hebrew, but hears the Megillah in Hebrew, they're Yotze. Kara Seirugin. If you read it, Seirugin. What does Seirugin mean? You read a little bit. What? Right. You read a little bit. Have some coffee. You come back. You read some more.
Conversation.
Right. No conversation. You just take a break. Come back, do some more, right? Umisnamnim. Misnamnim means? What? The Drushan app. Okay. You're Yotze. You're not completely sleeping, but you're not completely awake. You're bobbing your head. Right? So that's like the train nap, right? That you can't, you're not fully awake, you're not fully sleeping, you hear what's going on. You're Yotze. Right? You're Yotze. You're Yotze, Kriyas Megillah. Hayakosva Dorsha Umagia. So the way that Sofrim write Sifrei Torah, for sure, that's the halacha explicitly, they have to see the word, copy from another Sifrei Torah, see the word in the Sifrei Torah, say the word out loud, Bereishis, write down the word Bereishis, and then say the word again, Bereishis. Three-step process. Okay? So when it comes to here, let's say you're writing the Megillah in such a way. You're writing it, but as you're writing, you're saying every word. So if you had kavana to be yotzei the Megillah through that writing, you'd be yotzei. But if you just did it, you know, haphazardly, randomly, you're not yotzei.
Even though you're repeating every word.
Yeah. Only if you had kavana to be yotzei your mitzvah of reading Megillah.
So if somebody read the regular Megillah like that, read every word twice, then would they be yotzei also, or is this only when you're writing it?
Only when you're. That's the case here. Kosva, or even darshaning it, you're giving a shiur about it, and you end up quoting every single pasuk in order. You know, only if you have kavana to be yotze. Haisek suva besam sikra kumus kantom alanira diftera. What the Mishnah is trying to express here is that Kriyas Megillah has to be read from a cloth with real ink, meaning it can't be with anything that's going to fade out or anything else. Has to be written with real dio, right, that you'd use for a Sefer Torah, on real parchment, on real cloth. Anything else is ineffective. Anything else is not kosher at all, right? That's a big problem. Mezuzahs, Bizman Azeh, sometimes people think they purchased a good mezuzah, and really it's a piece of paper, or it's a nice thick piece of paper. It's a big, big problem. It used to be a bigger problem about 67 years ago in America. Now I think it's a million times better. But the Mishnah is trying to express this point that the Megillah must be read from a kosher, a Megillah like a Sefer Torah. Moyatza, Achdeik Suva Ashuris, Ala Sefer Ubidio. It has to be written on a sefer, on a minion parchment, and with ink. Minahanimili, says the Gemara. Minahanimili, how do we know that has to be said in order? How do we know that if you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yotze? So says the Gemara, Amarava Damarkra, Kichsavam Ukizmanam. The Pasuk says, if you see, I think we all should have on the Gemara, on this side. You have the Pesukim on the side? Tor or Ashalim. So what number is this?
Nine.
So look at number 9. Bill, you should have it also on the art scroll too. The full Pasuk. You do not have it. You have an older first edition. It's all good. It's all good. Classic edition. Yeah. So 9 on the side over here. So it says the Pasuk. Kimu b'kibla Yehudim aleihem v'alzaram, right? The Jewish people accepted the holiday of Purim on them and on us. Alzaram is us, on their children. V'alkol hanilvam aleihem, everybody that came along, meaning that might be referring to the people that converted during that time. V'lo yavor lios osim eshnei ayamim ha'ela, right? And it will never pass. We're always going to keep these 2 days, the 14th and the 15th. We spent a long time on these psukim way back, I think in last November and December. Kichsavam uchizmanam b'chol shana v'shana. Like it was written, and like their times, each and every year. So it says, now go back to the Gemara. Damar kra, Rava says, the Pasuk says, Kichsavam uchizmanam. Mazmanam l'mafreya lo. Just like it always, the zman always goes in order. It always goes 14, and then 15th, right? That's just the way the world works. Af ksavam, so too, the ksiva, right? Lemafreya lo. So too, when you're writing it, aka reading it, you also have to say it in order. Okay? What's the problem with this drasha? I fudged the word over here. It's just writing it, not reading it. It's a fudge. So says Rav, says Gemara on Rava, Mide Kriya. The Pasuk doesn't say Kriya. It says Ksiva. Ksiva. Hacha Asiya. All right, Hacha Asiya. Right here we're talking about the action, not the writing. So great, the Megillah has to be written in order, but that's not what we're asking here. We want to know, how do we know that the reading itself must be read in order? Dichsiv, next Pasuk. Right? Lios Osim et Shnei Hayamim Ha'ela. All right. Second say about it. These days should be remembered and should be acted upon, meaning we should do the actions, the mitzvos of the day. Itkish zechira le'asiya. Zechira means remembering. But we know that in halacha, whenever the Torah says for us to remember something, right? Rabbi Soloveitchik would always say, the Torah never commands an emotion. There's always an action associated with that emotion, right? So what's the action of Zechira, of remembering? Right? Zechira Samalek, what do? We read from the Torah. Right? It's an action, that's the action. It's not just in the mind, you have to do something, right? Right? You have to accept upon yourselves the yoke of heaven, right? The acceptance of the mitzvot every single day. How do you do that? Saying Kriyat Shema. Right? The Rav says there's two components to the mitzvah. Right? There's the Kiyam HaMitzvah, and then there is the, I'm not remembering what the other word, brisker word is. But the Kiyam of the mitzvah is the action. Then there's the emotional part of the mitzvah. Right? The emotional part of the mitzvah is, again, the goal, but there has to be a Hechi Timsa, a way to do that in action itself. And that is the Shema, and the goal is Kabbalas O Malchut Shemayim, right? It's a two-tiered thing. That might be true by shofar too. Shofar might be the goal is to engender a sense and feeling of awe, ema, trepidation, and a sense of tshuva, but is done through an action, listening or active listening or blowing of the shofar itself. So says the pasuk over here. Says the drush over here. So Hayavim Ha'ela Niskarim Vinasim. Itkish Zechira La'asiya. We're connecting Zechira to Asiya. Ma'asiya L'mafreya Lo. When it comes to the actions of doing the holiday of Purim, it has to be in order. the 14th and 15th. Afsachira, so too, the action, the reading of the Megillah, has to be said in order. L'mafreya, lo. L'mafreya would not work. If it's done out of order, it is invalid. So that is our source, that Megillah, l'mafreya, lo yatsa. Period. Now we're going to go on a tangent. Now, like I said, this mission is going to take us far afield from Megillah in the world of Jewish liturgy in general. So says Tana. Tana means we're quoting a brayso here. V'chein behalel, v'chein bekriyat shema, ubitfila. The same is true. Just like l'mafreya, out of order, we're not yotzei when it comes to kriyat shema, when it comes to Megillah, so too, if you read halel out of order, if you read kriyat shema out of order, and if you said Shmon Esri out of order, you're also not yotzei. Okay? Halel minolin. Let's do halel first. Rabba Amar Dichsiv Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo'o. What does that pasuk mean? Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo'o Meholal Shem Adonai. What does that pasuk mean? Who's got the article over here?
Rising of the sun to its setting.
Right, so the just like the day has an order, so too praising God has an order. And Chazal have an order to praising God. That is the halal that we just recited this past Shabbos and Sunday. Rav Yosef Amar, Zehayom Asa Hashem. From the pasuk Zehayom Asa Hashem, look at Rashi. What does that mean? This is the day that God made, right? The Nagilah v'nisvacha b'shuasa. What is that? So what's the connection between that? Rashi says second to last line in Rashi, towards the end of the line. Zehayom. Kiseder Hayom. Just like the day itself doesn't change. B'sha'osav. There's always 24 hours in a day. Except for, anyone know? There's a day that did not have 24 hours. What? Well, we are machmir in Shabbos to be careful because we're not sure when the day ends, the day begins. But there's one day in Jewish history, Tanakh. Yes. It wasn't Yericho. It was a Hashemesh Begivon Dom, Neil, right on the ball. V'hayreach be'emek ayalon. I had to memorize that pasuk in Yeshiva Flatbush. I'm not sure why. I had to memorize some. I have a lot of like random sukkim that like from Tanakh that I just had to know. That was one of them. Yeshua, the sun stayed up. Google it. I believe the Mayans recorded, again, this is going back thousands of years, a day where the sun stayed up. Again, it happened all over the world. Right, so it had to be, God wasn't just doing it in Eretz Israel, he was doing it everywhere. And the Mayans supposedly had like a day like that the sun stayed longer than it was supposed to. Right, the Mayans were known that they recorded a lot of things. So, Zehayom Asasha, right. Rav Avya Amar, Yehi Shem Hashem Mivorach. So how do you see from the pasuk that God's name shall be blessed, that we should do halal in order? Kiva Havaya So Yehe. It should be like it is. Halul Hashem Uberchaso Kisidro. Kiva Havaya So Yehe. Just like God is there, God is always there, so too halal should be done in a certain order. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'tim Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Mehacha Me'atavi Ad Olam. From here and now forever. So there's a order to do it in from here and now forever. So we should always do it.
Attempts or versions or sources.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Any thoughts? Why we need so many psukim for the same idea? I mean, you could maybe argue that one idea is not good over the other one. I think that's like always the reason. Or there are nafkaminas here. I'm not sure. I did not see anything on it. Doesn't mean there isn't. There definitely is.
Right.
But I haven't seen anything on it. But go to this packet here of the Mishnah Berurahs. I did not go ahead and order. Go to, I didn't label it. So Tavchav Beis. So Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, right here. Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. So let's go to Halel. Halal l'mafreya. So look at the Shulchan Aruch. Hakore halal l'mafreya lo yatsa. Game over, no? So says the Mishnah Berurah. Wait a minute. What does it mean that I didn't say halal l'mafreya? Eric, while I'm saying this, do you mind getting a bunch of sidurim? It is so great to see this inside. If you don't know this already, okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'haylam Afreya. What does it mean, out of order? What does it mean, out of order? Hainu, Dafka B'seder HaPsukim. Right? Avolim Hiktim Parsha L'Chaverta Afabi She'ena Rasha Yatza. Says the Mishnah Berurah. It seems that, according to me, you know what I think L'Mafreya means? If you just say the Psukim out of order. But if you said paragraphs out of order, you're Yotze.
Isn't that also true with the Shema?
Oh, amazing, Neil. Amazing. So if you said Shema out of order, right? The paragraphs out of order, B'dievid your Yotze. Okay? B'dievid your Yotze. Anyone know why that is true? So we're going to see. Akori Shema L'mafreya means the Psukim. If you say the Psukim out of order, no good. Okay?
They don't appear in that order in the original.
Excellent. Since the Torah itself has them out of order, right? Which, where does the first paragraph come from? You go in order? Shema V'Hafta is in which Parsha? V'Eschanan? V'Eschanan? V'Haya is in? It's in Akev. And the last paragraph is in Shlach, right? So it goes 1-2. It goes 3-1-2, right? It goes 3-1-2.
So they all stand alone section. Neither one is necessarily dependent on the other.
Right, they all achieve a different goal.
Same thing with Halal.
Right. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe you could argue that.
They're all in order. We read them in the order. Right. We read them in the order.
So maybe you can argue that. You can argue that.
Who put Tehillim in order?
Double amount.
He didn't write every single one of them.
In Echanami, but it's codified in this order. I think we have from David Melech, right? We have this.
Are you saying specifically Halal?
Isn't there one?
We'll talk.
Multiple.
No, we have. There's Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham, Eitan Azrachi. We have from other, but it was compiled by David. Whatever that. Again, that's a limit unto itself. What that means, but the order we have from them. That's the order.
In
so,
a different category, Halal is Shevach, right? Shmon Esrei is Tefillah.
Right. So Shmon Esrei is Tefillah, good. So now, Shema, if you bidyevid, you set the paragraphs out of order, you're Yotze. You're not thinking straight, whatever it might be. Or you accidentally started V'haya. Okay, fine, bidyevid. Say the first one, then go back to the third one. Shalom Yisrael. So says the Mishnah Berurah, I would think the same thing is true over here. When it comes to Hallel, it's the same thing. However, he says, Kamachronim, say no. He quotes Kamachronim, some individuals, the Prichadash, who says that is not true. When it comes to Hallel, also, it's a problem. That even saying the paragraphs out of order, it's also problematic. So you see, it's a machlokes aposkim, what L'mafreya lo yata means by Hallel. Just the psukim out of order? Or it means even the paragraphs out of order. But the Be'er Halacha over here asks a question. Okay? What's his question? Why is this even a question when it comes to Hilchos Rosh Chodesh? When it comes to Hilchos Rosh Chodesh here, Dafka Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. What type of halal do we say in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh? Chasial. What's the Gemara's word for chasi halal? The Gemara does not call it chatzi halal. Not the Gemara, really the Rishonim. No, not Ksara. No. Halel b'dilug. Dilug means skipping. It's halel through skipping. Okay. So look at page 1029 in the back of the Sidurim. So what does it mean halel through skipping? Okay. Just check this out over here. So look on together. Just important to appreciate what Chazal meant when they said Chatzi Halal, Halal B'dilug. So, because you're skipping. What are you skipping? Kuf Yud Gimel is the first paragraph of Halal. Okay, good. First paragraph, the whole thing, check. Kuf Yud Dalid, no? Whole thing, right? That's in every single Halal. Look at Kuf Tesvav. We skip what?
First half.
Only the first half, right? Only the first half. When it gets to, right, whatever, I don't know what pasuk it is, Hashem Yizrach Ani Yivarech, that is, what are you, so you're really saying half a paragraph, half a chapter of Tehillim, every single Rosh Chodesh. And the same is true by the next one, the Hafti is also Ma'ashiv. Ma'ashiv, right, is a beautiful song, but it's only half a paragraph. That's why we call it Hallel B'Dilug. Skipping is a more accurate term. You're skipping part of a paragraph. Chatzi is right. Yeah, it's half. It's not really half a paragraph. For years, it also always troubled me. I don't have a good answer. I emailed two Tanakh experts. They didn't. Rabbi Foreman and Rabbi Chaim Angel. And Rabbi Foreman's coming very soon. Ezra Hashem. I emailed them both. I was zochet to learn with Rabbi Foreman for 2 years. They both said they don't have great answers to this question. Why is this removing v'ahavti and those psukim and Lolan who all of a sudden makes Hallel? Half Hallel. Like, what's so special? And when you insert those, whoa. Make a bracha. It's chashuv. It's yontif. Not everybody makes a bracha. Not Sfardim don't make a bracha. So, what's so powerful about those? I am not sure. You can give me a good answer, I'll give you a hug. So I don't have a good answer. But that's why it's called Hallel B'Dilug. So the Meir Lacha just asks a question, and he says, like, it's funny that we're using the halacha of lemafreya lo yatsa, right? Where is the Shulchan Aruch teaching this halacha? In Rosh Chodesh, we're doing it not in the right order. We're skipping things. It's like not the right place. It doesn't belong here. It belongs elsewhere. So, what? Makes a good point. So that is just an interesting point that the Be'er Lacha points out over here. And again, we have them over here. Yeah.
So then what's the problem if he talks about Akari Hallel Mafreya Lo Yatza over here?
Because it's in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, where Hallel is automatically Mafreya. Where you're skipping it already. Oh, it's okay. Like, you should have done it in Hilchos Yantav.
Right.
Like, where does the Rambam place Halachas of Hallel? The Rambam places Halachas of Hallel, he tucks it into the back of Hilchos Chanukah V'Purim. Right? That's a great point. That's a great, not Purim, but in Hilchos Chanukah, it's called. They're together. They're linked together, but in the end of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam discusses there the inyanim and the halachas related to Hallel. It's Hallel Gomor, right? It's a full Hallel Shalem for 8 straight days, right? So that's why he puts it there. So it's funny that the Shulchan Aruch puts it over here. Okay, we'll go on for a few more moments. So says the Gemara, Kriyat Shema. How do we know that Kriyat Shema must be said in order? D'tanya, Kriyat Shema Kichsava Divrei Rebbe. What does Kichsava mean? B'lashon HaKodesh V'lo B'lashon Acher. Look at, right? Kriyat Shema must be said in Hebrew. No question, you have to say it in Hebrew. You can't say it in a different language. Chachamim say B'chol Lashon. We're going to get back to why in a minute. So it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and the Chachamim. What language you could say Kriyat Shema in? You say it in Hebrew or in any language. My time of the Rebbe, Amar Kra, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says why the pasuk says. Turn the page. V'hayu, Hadrim Ha'ela. What does it mean? V'hayu, behavayasan Yehu. When you fulfill the mitzvah, it shall be done like the way that it is. The way that it is, meaning in the Torah, it's written in Hebrew. You have to say it in Hebrew, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would be very pro transliterated sidurim. This is the only way you have to do it. Rabbanan, my taima. What about Rabbanan? Amar Krash Shema. The first word is Shema. Shema b'chol lashon shata shemeh. Say it in any language that you can hear. In any language that you can hear, you could say it in. Amar Krash Shema. Okay, Rabbi Nami Haksib Shema. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi teaches that a different halacha from here. The halacha he learns that from here is the following. It's funny he learns that from here. Why is, I'll say in a minute why it's funny. That when you say Kriyat Shema, you have to say it loud enough that you can hear the words of Kriyat Shema. Hashmei Laznecha, Mashata Motzi Mipicha. The truth is, where is this halacha learned out from otherwise, if not from here? The halacha is from Chana. right? You got to connect it to the Anyana deal. Not the first, the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Chana. From Chana, we learn that all of these halachas at tefillah. Chana was midaberes el liba. The pasuk says she was talking to her heart. You're talking to her, right? So Eli thought she was drunk. Right? Her lips were moving, right? Sfasan, forgot the language. Rak sfasan naot. There you go. V'kolol ha'ishama. Thank you. So her voice wasn't heard, meaning her voice wasn't heard to the people around her, but enough that she can hear herself. That's the way we're supposed to daven.
Before that, or at the time, there considering was, that it was that this was such a chiddush.
Unclear. Maybe she establishes this is the right way to daven, or Ms. Megala, meaning it was in the schus of her that we know this halacha. Meaning it could be everybody was doing this beforehand.
And why would Eli have thought
that she was drunk?
Yeah,
it's a good question. I'm not sure. Or she was mechadish as halacha for everybody to learn in for posterity. I'll tell you a great story. I used to very very makbid on this halacha. Two makbid in the salacha. When one time I used to learn, I went to yeshiva in Israel for a year, and then I learned in, I went to Brooklyn College for a year, and then I skipped, then I went to YU. But in that year that I learned Brooklyn College, I went to yeshiva called Yeshiva Gdola Five Towns. So now it's in a beautiful, very big building in the Five Towns. Back then it was in like cramped, very small cramped space. And Marv there, would be like I would be learning night seder, and then Maariv, like another 30-40 people would pack it in for Maariv. So it was like really like no space. And in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right, someone went like, bam, I'm not gonna, you know, like, I'm like, what's going on? Like, did he just miss for Slach Lanu? Like, what, like, I know it's tight in here, what's going on? After Davide, he came with me and goes, you're too loud. I'm not going to say what he really said, right? He's like, gotta be quiet. You know, I was like, I was way too loud. And he was completely disturbing his phone, right? So I guess he tried shh a few times and I didn't hear. Right? Yes. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. Okay. We'll stop here. We're going to get more into this drushes over here. I'll just end with a different line from the Mishnah Berurah. I'm going to actually talk about this in my drusha series in 3 weeks, three Shabbosim. I'm going to be talking about the role of the Bima. And the fascinating role of the Bima, and it sounds like, well, who cares? Like, it was a major, major machlokas in the Reform movement, the role of the Bima. The Reform movement moved the Bima. They read the Torah from the front of the front. And
Facing the congregation.
So that was the first two things the Reform movement did was that, and they brought the organ into the shul. So the biggest proponent against, biggest rav against the Reform movement was the Chasam Sofer. He was very very stark against it. Rav Hirsch fought it, but he didn't fight it in the fierce way. Because Chasam Sofer said everything's aser. A chadash aser mina Torah. That was his line always. A chadash aser mina Torah. And we'll talk about it in my drasha. We'll talk about why the bima has to be in the middle. We'll talk about a fascinating story related to that. And in the shir, we'll go through a lot of the sources and some fascinating. There's a shul in Venice where it's not in the middle, and there's a shul in Cordova, Spain. That's not in the middle, and there's a shita of the Kesef Mishnah where
not
maybe
in the middle, but facing the right way.
It's facing up, but it's in the side of different spots in the shul. We'll talk about that. What?
The front?
One of them is the front. Venice is the front, and Cordova it's on the side. So one of the other issues was that they basically abolished Hebrew from a lot of the Sidurim. Nobody knows Hebrew, so let's get rid of it. So the Mishnah Berurah here addresses that point. So he says, he's talking about saying Shemoneh Esrei all in English, right? So he says, technically, you're right. You're Yotze. 100% you're Yotze. But he says, Ayin the Shuvah Chasam Sofer, and he brings many, many proofs, right, that you're allowed to daven in any language, and you're Yotze. However, he says, Chasam Sofer says, only Be'akrai, only in once in a while. This shouldn't become the normal way to daven. right? Random. It shouldn't become normal. Aval ligboa bikviya tamidis lahamid shliach tzibor lashkiach lashon hakodesh legam, right? Right? He says to establish this always just reading from the English, right? A, you're not doing yourself justice. You gotta learn at a certain point, right? And he says, and then I guess there they were having the shliach tzibor say it just in, not in English, then it was probably German, that they were saying in, olashkiach, and you completely uproot the entire halacha, and he says that is a big, big problem. And then he goes on a tirade. You can see this. Aveira goreris aveira. First they changed it from Hebrew to English. And then what they do, they got rid of the bracha of Yerushalayim Yircha. Yeah. Right? We don't need Yerushalayim. Right? We have here. Ukshem Sharotzim Lashkiach Zichron Yerushalayim came Rotzim Lashkiach Lashon HaKodesh Mitzrayim. Right? Just as holy as Yerushalayim is, he's writing, so too is the Hebrew language. Right? Not Berlin. That's the Meshech. That's the Meshech Chachma. Yeah. That's the Meshech Chachma in the early 30s, who wrote that once they were saying Berlin's going to be, is the next Jerusalem, we don't need Jerusalem, he said trouble is going to start. That's what the Meshech Chachma wrote many years before. Pen Yigalu B'schus Shalosh Shinu Shalonim. And he says, what do you mean? One of the reasons why we were able to be redeemed from Egypt was we didn't change our language. We kept Shalosh Shinu as our Shemam, our names, our clothing, and our
language.
Mm-hmm. Right? How important that is to keep our language. We began with Lashon HaKodesh, the power, the efficacy of it, and how powerful this is. Ultimately, it's mutter. It's mutter. But again, he's concerned that to do this too much, we're not doing ourselves a disservice, and to establish it as the rule in the shul, that is absolutely that's trouble.
Like when at a time when all of a sudden you can't even, if somebody says everything, like you walk out of a shul backwards or whatever, that everything is yar gval yavar.
Right.
I forget
what
the word is.
Yeah, there's an argument against this, and I'll leave with one point related to Chodesh Elul, and this is the Shulchan Aruch over here, and the power of a tzibur, the power of coming together to daven, right? The power of coming together however amount of minyanim we can make it to, A, and over Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Shulchan Aruch has an opinion. We don't paskin this way, but just appreciate this opinion. He says the effectiveness or the efficacy of davening in a different language is only effective if you're davening with a tzibur. Then you can sort of tuck it in. You can get it in there. But if you're davening biyachid by yourself, only in Lashon HaKodesh. That's a yeshomer. We don't paskin that way. I'm saying we don't paskin that way. But just to appreciate the power of being with the tzibur, right? There's a great, great story, and this will end with bringing home this point, where someone that probably I learned from for many years, Rabbi Eli Storch. He's a Rav in DRS High School in the Five Towns. We spent many summers together in Camp Marsha. He said the story, I think, almost every single time he spoke. He spoke with the power of Tzibor. And he said that there was a college professor that always had one rule. The rule was, whenever the test was finished, the test was finished. The midterm, the final, whatever it was. And if you gave it in 1 second late, you fail. You fail. No tshuva, no slicha, no mechila, no kapara. You failed. And so he says, this is right, this is what happened, right? This one guy, he starts it, he goes, there's no way I'm finishing on time. It's impossible. Too many essays, too long, I have too much going on in my head. It's going to take me more than 2 hours to finish this. Professor says, gives a 10-minute warning, 5-minute warning, 3, 2, 1, and he takes it. He sits there and he goes, you're going to fail, you're going to fail, you're going to fail. He goes, okay, I don't care. I'm just, everyone is out of the room. It's just him and the professor. And he, gives him the test. He's walking up 20 minutes late. Professor's like, what are you doing? What are you doing giving him this test right now? So what does he do? He says to the professor, do you know my name? So do professors know? Most college professors know? No, they don't. 90 people in the class. So what does he do? Slips it right in the middle, right? Koch of the tzibur. You slip it in, right? You can get the English in, right? You can slip it in when you're part of the Tzibor. Things, you know, you ride in the coattails of somebody else, the bigger tzaddik sitting next to you, whatever it might be, or being part, intertwined with the Tzibor, you know, we have our tfilos, our din, is even more effective. Okay, great to be back together. Bezrat Hashem, next week, Tuesday night. Have a good night, everyone.